Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in to the In the Truck podcast. Do you remember oatmeal cream pies? It's like the two soft, like ridiculously soft oatmeal cookies with the icing in the middle. The cookie itself was so soft that if it wasn't for the icing, it probably would just crumble apart. But the icing was like kind of the glue that held the thing together. Remember those things? They were good, right? So you can't improve upon something that good. Oh, but you can. They are now selling double-decker oatmeal cream pies. So it's a cookie and then icing and then a cookie and then icing and then a cookie. That's 66% more oatmeal cream pie. It's probably not healthy. I think it's not a snack. It's probably a lunch. Like, you get a coffee and a double-decker oatmeal cream pie, you're probably good. I didn't look at how many calories were in it. I'm just guessing that it's a meal. A meal's worth of calories. Man, they're good. So there's a lot of back and forth with the idea of fake news. Like, what's fake news? Is there really fake news? Is CNN fake news? Is the real news fake news? Is what's the deal with fake news? So one of the things that's important to talk about is the fact that digital media have surpassed print media. In a lot of cases, TV media, insofar as how many people are looking at it. So you get a site like Breitbart or Huffington Post or Slate or InfoWars or whatever, these online media sites, more people are getting information from them than from other places. So while the print media has certainly failed in its obligations, there's at least a tradition, although it's been abandoned, in print media of having some sort of journalistic integrity. The idea that journalists follow rules at least existed for a long time, and in the digital space, excuse me, I've got like a cold going on, so I apologize. In the digital space, there's no such thing. There's no tradition of morality, of standards, right? People just do whatever they want to do. So what you end up with, and the goal is clicks, because that's how they generate ad revenue. So what you end up with is clickbait, right? And people can call it whatever they want, but they're not following any kind of a standard of objective journalism. They're just trying to get people to read it. And in the process, in a lot of cases, they follow a very ideological path. So, and this phenomenon, digital media looking for attention and pursuing an ideology, is coming for you. And you can think, haha, I'm nobody. And I'm telling you right now that there's two things that are for certain in this world. No, there's four things for certain in the world. Death and taxes, we've known that for a long, long time. The two new ones that are for certain in this world is the next sexual perversion that's going to be pursued and tried to push in the mainstream by the same people that brought you gay marriage, trans rights, whatever. And I'm not equating them. I'm just telling you the next thing they're moving on to is pedophilia. That's one. And again, I'm not equating gay marriage and pedophilia. Those are not the same thing. Not even remotely the same thing. And the other thing is for sure is that the culture we're creating is going to come for you. And it has to be stopped. I don't know what else to say. You can't do some of the things they're doing and get away with it. I don't know. So there's a Twitter user named Amy Meck, AmyMek. She's a conservative. I'm not a personal friend of hers. I don't know her. I didn't actually follow her until yesterday. I've seen people, other people retweet things she said. I'm familiar with her. She has about 220,000 followers. And she's very active. And in my opinion, she holds fairly traditional conservative beliefs. And then you add in the anonymity of being online and the desire to get a reaction in an audience, just like the people in the media are doing. And she says some outlandisher things. Because moderation doesn't build a social media following. So this guy, something O'Brien, at the Huffington Post, I guess, made it his mission in life to expose her, who she is as a human being. Now, the reason is because she's had success. So you look at who on the right has success. They become targets. If you build an audience for a message that is not Marxism, the left is going to try to destroy you and your family as human beings. So the message is clear. Don't do that. Don't speak out your mind. Don't hold these opinions. Don't you dare oppose what we're doing. And certainly don't be successful at it. And please don't tell me you don't know what I'm talking about. They've gone after Hannity's advertisers. They've gone after Limbaugh a billion times. They shut down Milo. They've gone after Candace Owens. They've gone after anybody they can go after. The only way you survive is if you're 100% independent. And even then, a lot of times they don't. But if they can get to advertisers, if they can get to employers, if they can get to family members, they're going to do it. There is no low enough. And this one, in my opinion, is like the new lowest low. I want to go through this article with you and talk about how propaganda is done, how fake news tries to ruin people. And again, Amy Mack is not a friend of mine. If she has said something abhorrent, I am not defending it or her. But I read the article that supposes to be a trial and conviction of her, and there is no evidence in it. They've simply taken a conservative who is successful and crucified her with vague nonsense and ridiculous things and assumptions that can't be followed through to the end. So here we go. Here's how the article starts. She was supposed to be a Russian bot. That seemed like the best explanation for Amy Mack. No normal person could be so prolific and so prejudiced. That's a pretty inflammatory statement to start an article with. And you would think at some point in the article you would have to prove that point. Like if you were writing an essay in college and you started out with claims that outlandish, you would have to at some point in the body of your essay prove it. So there's no such, this isn't college, and there's no professor reading it with a critical eye, right? This is entirely written for an audience that wants to believe what the writer is saying. So the proof. This is a quote. Garden variety Islamophobia. So this is supposed to tell you that she's a hateful person because she's an Islamophobe. Okay? And then he lists things that she's done. Memes about Sharia, executions, child rape, and genital mutilation. I don't know of a single human being, left or right, who is in favor of Sharia, arbitrary wanton executions that are practiced in certain Islamic countries, including in the Islamic State. Child rape? Who the hell's in favor of child rape? And genital mutilation. That's a big deal, genital mutilation. And as the populations of Europe and America and Canada become more Muslim, it becomes more common. Obviously, not all Muslims practice genital mutilation, but some do. And it's an issue. It's a problem. In the West, we don't feel that the women in our culture should have their genitals mutilated. That's universal. Nobody thinks it's okay. And it is happening. Like I said, it is happening. So for someone to post something on social media to say they're opposed to Sharia law and genital mutilation of small girls, how is that controversial or hateful? Please, somebody tell me. Now, the author suggests she's trying to say all Muslims, but she didn't ever say all Muslims. She's just talking about these actual things that are actually happening. But that's not allowed because it's against the narrative of the left. The article goes on to quote CAIR, the Council of Islamic, I don't know, something, which has been signified as a terrorist group. And he acts like it's a normal, respected organization. So CAIR, a bunch of Muslim terrorists, oppose Amy Mack. And you're supposed to take from that that somehow she's bad. He goes on to talk about her childhood. He includes her yearbook photo from high school. And it says that she told her neighbors she was a psychologist, which he says she's not. Okay, so even if that's true, that she told her neighbors that, and even if it's true that she's not, I don't know in either case, and neither do you, by the way. How do you say to somebody's a bad person because their nosy neighbors are asking questions and they didn't tell the true story? When people ask me what I do, I don't tell them the whole truth. It drives my wife insane. I make what I do sound as insignificant and blue-collar and unskilled as I humanly possibly can in as few words as possible. And why do I do that? Am I a big fat liar trying to hide the truth? No. I think it's obnoxious to ask someone what they do. So my protest, my way of saying that I don't think you should ask me that question, is to make them seem elitist. So you can take from that whatever you want to take from that. I don't really care. He then goes on to quote a political consultant named Maureen Irwin. You know Maureen Irwin, right? No. So what is that? That's just some random person who says, "I haven't seen another account that is dedicated to hate 24/7 like this." Really? Are we talking about Twitter? You need to get out more. So here are the accusations of things she's done. And go ahead and make a mental list in your own mind of how you feel about these things. And go ahead every time and check a box. We'll see what your score is. Out of 6, right? So you'll be a score out of 6. She bashed welfare, Obamacare, and fast food workers striking for higher pay. She mocked liberals for supporting Trayvon Martin. Okay, so let's stop for a second. That's 4. The third one, fast food workers striking for higher pay, is the worst idea ever. We've talked about it on the podcast. I've written blog about it. I've talked about it on Twitter. I've talked about it on other social media sites. Raising the minimum wage decreases employment. Period. So if you raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour from where it currently sat at the time they started crying about it, like $8.50 or $9, all it's going to do is reduce employment. People will lose their jobs. Okay? So while it is something that sounds nice, oh, we'll get the poor people paid more money, which is something that I think is a good idea, the way to do that is not by encouraging them to strike for higher wages, because that will result in fewer people working. The way to do that is encourage them to get new skills and to leave those jobs to teenagers as God intended. All right. Liberals for supporting Trayvon Martin. It is proven in court that Trayvon Martin attacked a man, wrestled him to the ground, got on top of him, and started smashing the man's head into the pavement. Now, you might think that was justified, but the physical contact was initiated by Trayvon Martin, who then got himself in a position where he was applying deadly force to another man and got shot. And the man that did it, all the evidence out there, physical evidence, eyewitness testimony, whatever else, was found not guilty. because he 100% was defending his own life at the moment that he pulled the trigger. Now, you might not like George Zimmerman, and he's certainly not a sympathetic character, but Trayvon Martin was not an innocent child who was murdered by a quote-unquote white Hispanic. Anyway, so she mocked liberals for supporting Trayvon Martin. She fear-mongered about immigrant rape gangs. Immigrant rape gangs, which actually exist, certainly in Great Britain, I'm guessing also in the United States of America, and they're raping women and children as young as 11 in Great Britain. This, again, has been proven in court. It is actually happening. So for a person to bring that to other people's attention isn't hateful. Anyway, and government gun grabs, which I don't know the timeline of it, because a lot of the things that he's criticized her for saying on Twitter was from 2, 3, and 4 years ago about Islam, when ISIS was beheading journalists and lighting people on fire inside of cages and rounding up women and making sex slaves out of them. So I don't know the timeline on that one. But certainly in the wake of Parkland, where public opinion clearly for certain people has come out to be that they do want to confiscate all firearms. And they're not shy about it anymore. They'd like to get rid of the Second Amendment and confiscate firearms. So, out of 6, criticize welfare, Obamacare, fast food workers striking for higher pay, liberals supporting Trayvon Martin, immigrant rape gangs, and government gun grabs. What's your score? Mine's 6 out of 6. Those are mainstream beliefs. There's nothing outlandish about any of that. If you pay attention, if you actually pay attention to what's going on, and you see, I don't know, court transcripts, you pay attention. Those are all mainstream beliefs. Essentially what he's saying in this whole bulk of the article is that Ayman Mack is not a socialist. He says her main target was Barack Obama. Yeah, most of the country didn't like Barack Obama. That's just a fact. A lot of people were not in favor of Barack Obama. Now, she did do some birther stuff and whatever, some, you know, Obama's a Muslim, whatever. So, okay, that might not be mainstream opinion, but it's not insanely out there. It's not hateful and racist. It's nowhere near as bad as what the left says about Trump or said about George W. Bush. Sorry for the noise there. I've got notes today. He says in 2014, she started using neo-Nazi terms like cultural Marxism. Cultural Marxism is not a neo-Nazi term. It's like they can't get through an attack on somebody without throwing in that they're Nazis. It's a postmodernist term. What do you think the feminist movement and identity politics are? They're 100% cultural Marxism. That's what cultural Marxism is. The people who espoused that movement, who created it, who invented it, that's what they called it. They were Marxists who, in the wake of the failings of the Soviet Union, redirected their efforts towards the culture. They replaced workers or the working class with victims and victim groups. They replaced the bourgeoisie with the oppressor. Voila! Cultural Marxism. And that's where all this stuff that's going on comes from. It's why you can bash ad nauseum white men for anything you want, but you cannot even slightly criticize anyone of any other group because they might be a victim group. That's where you get the victim Olympics from. The victim Olympics from. Who's the most oppressed? Who's the biggest victim? It's like a contest. He says she praised Orban in Hungary. Oh, I'm guilty of that. This is a quote. Orban has used anti-Semitism to cast George Soros as an evil globalist puppet master. Okay, listen. That's not anti-Semitism. That's just true. George Soros, by his own admission, assisted the Nazis in Hungary rounding up Jews and taking their property. When he was 14 years old, he was not a child. He likes to now say, now he's walked it back because it's so unpopular, and said, oh, I was just a child. No, you're 14 years old. You're not a child. He helped the Hungarian government round up Jews. And he's gone on to become this billionaire financier, which I've never looked into how he got started and all that, and I don't really care. But he specializes in destroying countries by creating political turmoil. He uses his money and his influence to back groups to create dissent and riots and chaos, one country at a time, while he basically shorts their economy and makes billions of dollars on just anarchy. That's what he does. But in the U.S., he supports these socialist groups, so they think he's fantastic, because he's giving them money, tons of money. He's not a principled leftist. The whole thing is insane. This guy goes on to say that Amy Mack swooned over racist figures like Milo Yiannopoulos. They're still using this. They're still saying that Milo's a racist. Milo Yiannopoulos is a homosexual man who is legally wed to a black man. But apparently, you can just go out and throw in an article that he's racist. I don't even know how they do that one. And it says she hyped white nationalist groups like the Soldiers of Odin, the Proud Boys, and Generation Identity. Now, the Soldiers of Odin are a group from... Now, my Scandinavian geography is weak. I believe from Norway. And Norway has some restrictions on the migrant populations and immigration. And Sweden does not. And they border each other. But the police in Norway are either unwilling or unable to stop these immigrants from wandering over the Swedish border into Norway. So a group of guys formed a gang called the Soldiers of Odin, and they patrol the border themselves. Now, they've been portrayed in the media as being these horrible racists, but they haven't, in any account I've read, actually hurt anyone or attacked anyone or done anything to... Essentially, it's a group of people in a country who are upholding the law of their country in face of the fact that it isn't being done officially. So they're sort of like vigilantes, I suppose, which is not a great thing, and I don't think anybody's super excited about the idea of vigilantes. And I get that they're white and the people they're stopping from coming to the country aren't white, but I don't know that you can argue that they're necessarily a racist group. The Proud Boys are not a racist group. They do not discriminate against people of other races at all. It's an organization about Western culture and Western values, which obviously Marxists hate, but again, non-racist. Hold on. Excuse me, I'm sorry. And Generation Identity is a group in Europe that opposed the Islamization of Europe, which is now apparently racist. Oh my goodness, I'm sorry. I probably should pause it before I do that. But anyway, again, you can argue that they're racist, I suppose, but at least publicly all they're saying is they want to have a conversation about how many people from other countries are allowed into Europe and maintaining European culture, and that European culture has value and that it shouldn't be thrown out via unfettered migration. They're not an openly racist group. I haven't even heard them say anything about wanting to get rid of people who are already there, just stopping more people from coming. Anyway. Further accusations. She vilified Colin Kaepernick for taking a knee. Yeah, everybody did that. That's why the NFL has a new policy about taking a knee, because the people who pay money and watch the NFL didn't like it as a group. And the NFL felt the pain. And so they changed their policy. Called the Black Lives Matter a terrorist group. Well, what is terror? What is a terrorist? It's people who use physical violence to achieve a political objective. So Black Lives Matter has a political objective, and they've used some violence to forward that objective. I don't know that it's that much of a stretch. I don't know. I don't think that I personally go so far as to call them a terrorist group, although I think there are terrorists in their group, but I don't think it's completely outlandish to say that. Then he gets to her accusations of her about Islam. She labeled the Prophet Muhammad a pedophile. You know who? What else labels the Prophet Muhammad a pedophile? The Quran. His favorite wife was a child when he married her, and then he waited until she was 12 or something before he consummated the marriage. That's in the Quran. So he was a pedophile. And she also referred to the Prophet Muhammad apparently as a mentally sick con man. Well, that's probably a controversial thought. I don't know that you can necessarily disprove it offhand. And people certainly say worse things about Jesus Christ all the time on the left. And they're not having they're not getting doxxed in major publications. So then this guy has one friend who's named, who goes on the record, and a second friend who's an unnamed friend who witnessed Amy Mack being mean to Muslims in real life. Now, is it possible there was an actual source who claimed to be Amy Mack's former friend who said that? There is. Is it also possible that the guy just wanted to make a point and made it up so he could make the article sound better? Absolutely. This is the best part. The article calls Pamela Geller and David Horowitz anti-Islamic bigots. Pamela Geller and David Horowitz are American Jews who are, yeah, they are outspoken about the danger of Islam. You know why? Because there are a large portion of the Muslim population of the world that would like Jews to all be dead. That seems, you know, significant, worth pondering. The Quran calls Jews apes and pigs. I thought we were all going to get upset if somebody got called an ape. That was a new thing. No? That's over already? The journalist goes on, in quotes, the journalist goes on to expose her brother and her father and brags about how he harassed the employer of her husband until they fired him. And he's happy about it. So this is what's coming. This is what's coming for you. Articles written in this way, making unbelievable claims that you are hateful and racist, Islamophobic, that you are a horrible human being. Journalists going out and exposing people's identities who are trying to be anonymous and trying to ruin their lives. And I didn't, but I'm sure if you go read the comments on the article, I'm sure there's a whole bunch of people that are super happy about it, that love it. And that is a sickness that has infected both sides. Social media is new, man. You know, it's this thing that people are trying to figure out. And, it's, you know, Twitter's a forum that allows people to be anonymous. And Amy Mack didn't try to be super anonymous. She used her real name, sort of, an abbreviated version of a real name. She's talked about actual things going on in her life. The guy put the whole thing together just reading her Twitter timeline. He acts like he's some kind of Sherlock Holmes, like he figured it all out. Some of the things that Amy Mack has put up on Twitter or retweeted on Twitter are slightly controversial. You might argue that they're funny, You might argue that you don't like it. Okay, fine. She's not a danger to anyone. And most of her views are mainstream conservative views. This is the best stuff the guy could come up with to condemn her with. That she's against welfare and Obamacare. Yeah, all conservatives are against welfare and Obamacare. That she doesn't support Islam coming to Europe and America. There's a lot of people who feel that way. It's not an outside the mainstream view that there's a problem in Europe and that there might be a problem coming to America. And this guy dug back through years. You're talking about ISIS is dominating the headlines. They're beheading journalists. And she's critical of them. And then, you know, 3 years later, he's like, oh, look, she hates Muslims. Okay, maybe she does hate Muslims. I don't know. Like I said before, I don't know her. I'm not defending her. I'm just telling you, this is what's happening. The media is dead. There is no such thing as objective news, period. So you can go and find the opinion that you like. You can go find media on the left or media on the right. And you can read it, I guess, if you want to. But just know, you're being lied to. In all cases. You're being told half stories by lazy people who can't be bothered. Vicious, vindictive people who are trying to ruin other people's lives. Just this week, we've had Roseanne get fired for something she said. We've had the right now trying to get Samantha Bee fired. And now this, the Huffington Post trying to ruin this lady's life. She's got 220,000 Twitter followers, a lot of them anonymous, a lot of them with nothing to lose. I'm going to go on a limb and say this guy's going to feel some repercussions from this. The Huffington Post is going to feel some repercussions from this. And it just goes back and forth and back and forth. You know, Laura Loomer tweeted about this. Laura Loomer's another journalist. She was basically saying exactly that the conservative side, needs to fight back and try to ruin these people's lives because we're at war. I think that's where it's at. We're at war with each other. It's a civil war. It's a stupid civil war being fought over stupid ideologies and just ridiculous nonsense. It's essentially a war of slander and libel. Amy Mack, you can like her, you can not like her. Amy Mack is a private citizen just like you, who took to social media to express her opinion, just like you probably do. And a journalist that nobody's ever heard of that writes for an online rag, dedicated who knows how many months of his life to doing nothing other than digging up dirt on her and ruining her. Why did he want to do that? What's the point of it? She's a nobody. Who cares that she has 220,000 Twitter followers? She is not a public figure. She doesn't work in media. She doesn't work in politics. She doesn't work in entertainment. She is not a public figure. She's not doing speaking tours. She didn't write a book. Nothing. She's just a woman, a private woman, with a Twitter account. So why did he pick her out? Because he didn't agree with her. She doesn't, just like yesterday we talked about with feminism, she doesn't follow the Marxist orthodoxy. And so he's gone out to ruin her life. So if you don't follow the Marxist orthodoxy, eventually they're coming for everyone. You know, Jesse Kelly talks about it's time for a peaceful divorce before we get into a violent civil war. Right now it's like a Cold War. There was a time in America where we were Americans first, and we were Democrats and Republicans second. We were Methodists and Jews and Catholics and Baptists second, and we were Americans first. We were New Yorkers and Californians and Texans second. Well, maybe not Texas. They're a little different. But in general, that's over. That's gone. And you could make the argument, I think, pretty well, that once that's gone, once we're not Americans first, that America doesn't exist. The last time people in this country didn't feel like they're Americans first, we had a war and 500,000 boys died. Which, if you adjust it for population today, I think it's like 13 and 14 million. And we went through a period of time where we were Americans. Through the end of the 19th century and the entirety of the 20th century, we were Americans first. Today, we are not Americans first. And the left, as they become less popular and as they become more and more out there, as they reveal themselves more and more to be what they are, cultural Marxists, and no, that's not a neo-Nazi term, that's an actual term describing what they actually are. They become desperate, and they're trying to ruin people's lives. Like I said, the list of people who are banned from social media, who've been attacked and had their lives ruined, is a long list. I think it's to the point, actually, where it's dangerous to talk. If you have anything to say that doesn't fall into the orthodoxy of the left, it's dangerous to talk. And I don't know that everyone realizes it, but I look at things people say that are just, you know, normal, conservative things online, in the news, and I think that's brave. Sean Hannity, they went after Sean Hannity. He's boring. He doesn't have, like, out there crazy opinions. Sean Hannity essentially, I think, every day takes an opinion poll of every topic and then talks about it. Whatever the conservative side is, you know, that's what he's going to talk about. And more power to him. He's created a huge audience. He makes a lot of money. Good for him. But he's not some outlandish character saying crazy things. Saying anything controversial. My goodness. So listen, I hope you all have a great day. I hope you had a great week this week. I wish you all a wonderful, wonderful, happy weekend. And I don't know where to go from here. I don't know what to do to put an end to it. I don't know what to do to convince the left that they're going down a path that's going to lead to everyone's destruction. I don't even know that's not what they want. Maybe that's what they actually want. I don't know. Listen, I love you guys. Have a great day today. We'll catch you later.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.